Welcome now to the midday for a Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and welcome back, Olga Kern.
Thank you.
Gosh,
it's so great to be back.
Fourth visit in 11 years.
Yeah.
why have you stayed away so long? But you were here, 3 years ago the last time, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And now you're playing the Barber Piano Concerto with the Madison Symphony this weekend. Is that a way, this is the first time you've actually, I think, toured with an American piano concerto?
No, actually, I already played before a Gershwin Rhapsody in Blue, but Barber Concerto, it's a really great and new piece for me, and I played Barber his sonata at the Clyburn competition, and I won this piece. I love his music, so always wanted to learn his concerto, and such a beautiful piece. It's amazing. It's one of the last romantic concerto, I must say. I just did it last week with Detroit Symphony, and I'm so happy that I can present and share this concerto here with Madison audience. It's really great.
Kind of a way, though, isn't it, to celebrate your American citizenship?
Yes, it's great. Yeah, I got it. I got my citizenship last year, and I am now doing a lot of American and both American and Russian program to really honor my both the most important countries in my life. I'm doing Barber actually a few times, also next season as well, and then I'm doing also Bernstein next January. It's his second symphony, Age of Anxiety. This will be very interesting. It's a new piece as well. So with the Barber Concerto, I think that it's so challenging, not only for piano, but for the orchestra as well. Mm-hmm. So it's such a conversation in the way between piano and orchestra. He's just all the time playing with both of, soloist and the orchestra. It's incredible. It's so exciting. And of course, the second movement is just so gorgeous. It starts with the flute, and there is a transcription for the flute. Mm-hmm. For the whole movement. Mm-hmm. But I think it just sounds so beautiful when the piano part is in there, because it's written of course originally for the piano, so it's really incredible music. And a third movement, originally Barber wrote it the way that it was impossible to play.
Yeah, he wrote it for John Browning, didn't he?
Yes, he already worked with John Browning while he was composing it. And then he showed third movement to Vladimir Horowitz, to whom he dedicated his sonata. And Horowitz said, it's impossible to play. Then he showed it to Browning, the final version, and Browning said, it's impossible to play. It was too fast and a tempo metronome, and it was just impossible. And then he rewrote it. And then John Browning got the scores 6 days before the premiere, even though he already worked with Barber, of course, on the piece. But he got the final version of the third movement 6 days before the premiere.
Didn't have time to say it's impossible.
It was already not enough time. So he did it. And of course, we have a fantastic two recordings of John Browning, and second recording was with Leonard Slatkin with St. Louis, and I was privileged that I was able to work with Maestro Slatkin on this piece. And actually, he was the one who told me that I need to learn Barber Concerto, because he said, it's your piece. And he also said that now John Browning can rest in peace, because this piece belongs to you, Olga Kern. So that is, I'm very honored that I really can, perform this piece and share it for many years.
And it's instead of being impossible now, that third movement is just almost impossible.
It's almost impossible, but it's possible, and it's very exciting. As I said, that is a very difficult places for the orchestra in this piece.
It's a short movement, but I'm guessing at times it seems longer.
Yes, everyone is really working hard, and you need to count quite good, because otherwise it's all about rhythm there. And it's really kind of like a mechanical in the way, very, very mechanical, very straightforward movement. When you just you have this 5/8, and it's just 1 2 3 1 2 1 2 3 1 2. You know, it's just that rhythm which just goes and goes. It's like in the way, it's like ostinato until the end. It just goes like that, and you just need to keep that. That beat in you, and it's just really incredible. I just love it.
Well, a lot of people have over the years. It's kind of analogous to his the finale of his violin concerto, which was also deemed too difficult by some early players.
Yeah.
Well, you have this connection to, and I know you've talked about it so much over the years that you kind of don't want to get too much into the Tchaikovsky Rachmaninoff connection with your family, but you do have this wonderful CD of Rachmaninoff transcriptions that you've recorded.
Yes,
and it has some great stuff on it.
Thank you, and
we'll be hearing from that, and also from another disc of yours too. Starting with, we decided to go with actually as transcription of. Violin piece by Fritz Kreisler.
Kreisler, yes.
This would be the Liebeslied.
Thank you.
while he managed to put some virtuosic licks in that piece, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
There's a fair number of those transcriptions, aren't they, by Rachmaninoff?
Yes, yes. And he loved to, transcribe the composers which he loved. And he was a great pianist. So he really wanted to present it in the way how he felt about the other composers' music. So it's great. We're fortunate that he had so many great transcriptions.
Well, another composer that I think, especially early on, Rachmaninoff admired, it seems to have influenced at least a little bit his early piano compositions, was Mendelssohn.
Yes, 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 for sure. Mendelssohn and Berlioz was two really important composers for Rachmaninoff, because, in Berlioz, of course, his orchestral language, how he knew each instrument, is kind of like a god of instrumentation, really.
Lots of instruments, too.
Yeah, and he definitely knew how to put them together. And, of course, in the Symphony Fantastique is that a great example. And Rachmaninoff, of course, learned so much from Berlioz and, of course, Mendelssohn. So it's wonderful that he transcribed, this Midsummer Night's Dream for the piano. It's really a challenging piece. All pianists, it's not easy, because you really need to have that really soft,
delicate touch
to play it, because it needs to be orchestral, it's just, it can't be just a piano sound in it. You still need to feel that a great magical different instruments in it. So it's a great transcription.
And here it is with my guest Olga Kern, and the Scherzo from A Midsummer Night's Dream by Mendelssohn, as transcribed for piano by Rachmaninoff. Thank you. Scherzo from A Midsummer Night's Dream by Mendelssohn, an orchestral piece rendered down into a piece for a very busy pianist. And we were talking about this, Olga, that you know, some pieces are very difficult, but you don't exactly, as a performer, get full credit for
yes,
them
yes.
because they don't yes. necessarily seem that difficult to the audience, or they just doesn't know what makes them so difficult.
Exactly, exactly.
And this is one of those, because you have to have such a light touch to so much of it.
Oh, yes.
Gradually building.
And it's just, it never stops. You don't have any time to even breathe, you know.
Yeah, it's, so almost, it's just it's like a perpetual motion piece.
It is.
So challenge of its own there.
Yeah.
Well, here's another one that you don't find often, but occasionally it turns up. This musical snuffbox. What was Liotta referring to when he called it that? Snuffboxes used to be common gifts, didn't they?
It is, it is. And actually, you can hear it exactly. You know, Anatoly Liadov, who wrote the piece, I think he was just a master of really just great images in music. So you can actually imagine snuffbox, right?
Sure.
There, when you actually hear the piece. It's incredible. The colors, and it's just wonderful how he could just use exact sound of the piano. He is writing it in the higher register of the piano, and it really sounds
kind of
really
simulate a music box.
Exactly, yeah. Uh-huh. It's like that little mechanical music box which just goes and goes, and then just kind of like dying in the end.
Does it wind? It winds out.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great piece.
Here we go. Musical snuffbox. you can almost hear like the click at the end.
Exactly.
You know, when the key yes, turns yes. in that yeah. music box. So that's very charming. As I said, I don't think I'd heard your rendition of it
oh,
before.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Lovely stuff.
Thank you.
Now, before you take off, Olga Kern, speaking of fiendishly difficult pieces, the Liszt Hungarian Rhapsody number 2 exists both as a does it it's a piano solo piece as well as an orchestral piece originally?
Originally, it's a, just a solo piano piece.
Okay,
and
right.
Rachmaninoff, why I put it also in the transcription CD, because Rachmaninoff wrote a wonderful cadenza to this Rhapsody.
A cadenza, that's unusual.
Yeah, and it's just a piece by itself in the Liszt piece. So it's a real fun to first play this great Liszt music and then to actually play in it some Russian and Rachmaninoff's great music. So it's a really Hungarian-Russian type of
well,
piece. This is why I put it together with transcriptions.
I think that makes perfect sense. So here it is, Olga Kern with Hungarian Rhapsody number 2 by Liszt, but listen for the interlude provided by Sergei Rachmaninoff. And a great pleasure having you with me again today.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. have every note, and some of them provided by, most of them by Liszt, and some of them provided by Sergei Rachmaninoff. That was Olga Kern with the Hungarian Rhapsody No. 2.